It might be that the Lord can look out ahead of us and sends things for us. So my desire is to share with you a challenge that the Lord has given me. You know, I have a desire that my life would bring glory to God. There's a verse I want to start with in 1 Corinthians 6 and 20. That tells me why it needs to be this way. 6:19, what? Know ye not your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and you're not your own. You're bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. But before I start, I want to say the two songs that we had preached a message in themselves. For us, God's in control. But this one says, you're bought with a price. Glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. So I was thinking some of the ways that we can glorify God. Here's a few of them. Psalms 19 and 14. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Sometimes we can think, I want my life to glorify God, so it's got to be some huge thing that I do. No, it's maybe in the small things that bring glory to Him. Because when my words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart are acceptable to Him, there's going to be other things that flow out that bring glory to Him. Another one is in 2 Corinthians 10 and 5, where it says to bring into captivity every thought. And we've already heard about that this morning, of how hard that is. It's so easy to say that. I could say it for a memory verse. Casting down imaginations, bringing into captivity every thought. And you know, we don't have to be saying, okay, I keep sinful thoughts out of my mind. You know what? That's not enough. The devil will slip in with some other thoughts, whether they're just discouraging or whether it's just, I don't know what the future holds, none of us do. And we can get to worrying about what it holds. I still remember years ago when Russia had a thing they were saying, we're going to take America without a shot.
We're going to bury.
Yeah, different things that they were saying. But one of them was, we won't need a bullet. We're going to take you from within. And, you know, people worried about that. We at that time, it's, you know, are we going to have a nuclear war or whatever happens? There were some people really worried about that. And I can remember a mother with little children and thinking, and all this stuff starts crowding in her mind. And she about has a nervous breakdown of worrying what's going to happen. You know, it wasn't so many years after that that the Russian Empire fell.
That's true.
At the great extent that it was at that time. I want to bring glory to the Lord, and it seemed like it would be in some great big old things that I do. You know what it will come in? I will bring glory to the Lord as I'm able to bring some thoughts into captivity. Just the worrisome thoughts that we can have about tomorrow. Thoughts that we can have about where our country is headed. And we put all those things in the Lord's hand. I'm going to tell you, it'll bring some glory to His name. And there's another one. It's what we're doing this morning. Hebrews 10 and 25. Forsaking not the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is, so much the more as you see the day approaching. This right here, when we shut down our life for a little bit of time, and we come in to focus on what does the Lord have to say to us,
yes,
it brings glory to the Lord. But there are some other things that bring glory to the Lord, and I'd like to look at them this morning. In Acts 10 and 38, it says that Jesus went about doing good. Now that's quite a statement. You know, we can say, well, that's Jesus, but what about me today? You know what? I can bring glory to the Lord today by just going about doing good. Just being alert to the needs around me and not just focused only on my needs. And there's a verse I'd like to go to in Matthew. Here's a call for us to bring glory to the Lord. Matthew 5 and 16. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. And what will they do?
Glorify
me. No, the glory doesn't come to me, nor should I desire it to. Glorify your Father, which is in heaven. That needs to be the goal that I have. When does a light seem to shine the brightest? When things around you are the darkest. Thought about something yesterday. I was riding my four-wheeler, and I got off of it to check something in front, get something. And I looked and my headlights are on. You know, I didn't have a clue they were on. But you know what? When dark was there, they sure came in handy. You know, sometimes we can feel like I'm just not a very big light. But you know what happens as it gets darker around us? It shows up all the more. So even a little small light that we can feel like we are, the darker it gets around us, the more that light can shine. I was thinking about darkness. We're living in that time of darkness. But you remember over in Exodus, one of the plagues was that darkness came over Egypt. You know one description that they gave of that darkness? They said it was a darkness that could be felt. Now that would be some kind of darkness. Have you ever gone in a room? I went one time to Carlsbad Caverns and went down in it, and then they shut the lights out. Well, you can put your hand right in front of your face and you don't see it. That's darkness. But you know, you can go in your closet and shut the door and do the same thing, and you realize then, if I take my little cell phone then and give it just a little bit of light, it seems like that room just lights up. What does that have to do with this bringing glory to the Lord? You know, it says the people that sat in darkness saw a great light. I believe that was Christ coming, brought a great light. But you know what? In the darkness around us, we can also be a little light to the world around us, and it'll bring glory to the Lord. When there's darkness all around us, and we can still have victory in our souls. And the darkness doesn't just have to be sin and everything around us. It can be just troubles that we face in our life.
Yes.
That the devil would love to consume us with those troubles and the thoughts of them. There's a song that we sing, "When Darkness Veils His Lovely Face."
Yes.
And you know what? It's going to do it for every one of us throughout our life. There's going to be something come that wants to cloud his face shining through that he's well able to help us. But it says, that's when I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. And I am very thankful for that. This place would be crowded this morning, and every other church would be, if when you turn your heart to the Lord, you're promised by God, you will never have another trouble come in your life. This is where you come to be trouble-free. We would pack the driveway. But here's a poem that I read this week. God has not promised skies always blue, flower-strewn pathways. All our lives through. He's not promised sun without rain, joy without sorrow, peace without pain.
That is true.
He has not promised that we shall not know toil and temptation, trouble and woe. He hath not told us that we shall not bear many a burden and many a care. But you know what? He did promise some things to us.
Yes.
And I'm glad this poem didn't end with, he didn't promise and it's over. It said, he has promised strength for the day,
yes,
rest for the labor, light for the way, Grace for the trials, help from above, unfailing sympathy, undying love. Have you felt it in the times of trouble? It says also, God has not promised smooth roads and wide, swift, easy travel, needing no guide, never a mountain, rocky and steep, never a river, turbid and deep. You remember Much Afraid? When she chose, you know what, I want to go to the high places. And the shepherd said, I'll lead you there. Here's the mountain where I want to go. Where did he take her? Here comes a desert out here.
Yes.
And she's headed toward it. And now he's not going to be the one that takes her there. He said, I've got some companions for you.
That is true.
To get to the high places, you'll need sorrow and suffering to go with you. But you know what? There are some promises also. He said, anytime you need me, you just call and I'll be there. He has promised strength for the day, rest for the labor, light for the way, grace for the trials and help from above. He's promised unfailing sympathy and undying love. And I am thankful for that. I'd like to look at a verse over in 1 Peter. First Peter, the first chapter, 1 and 7. The trial of your faith, how much value is it? You know what? I would like to never have trouble. I wish getting saved would have meant I never have problems anymore. This says, the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. The trial, I don't know what the value of gold is today, how much it is per ounce, but this says the trial of your faith has more value than that. The only way it does that is when I see that this trial reaches out into eternity. It's helping me to prepare for that place. Troubles in my life, it's possible that they can have more value to me than all the money I could ever make while I'm here. And you know, we think about how valuable it is to go to work and have some money to live on. This one says, the trying of your faith has more value than that.
Yes.
I say, Lord, help me. I'd like to look at another verse over in 2 Corinthians 4 and 17. Our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory.
Yes.
Troubles that come into my life are intended to have great value if I go through them in a way that brings glory to God. There are other ways to go through it where God is not glorified. There's a song that we sing sometimes, life is easy when you're up on the mountain. You know, when things are going well for me, I can preach all kind of sermons about trusting the Lord and just putting your confidence in Him. But you know, when troubles come, life is easy when you're on the mountain and you've got peace of mind like you've never known. But then things change and you're down in the valley. Does it say, well, just give it up? No, it says, don't lose hope, for you're never alone. The God of the mountains is still God in the valley. You know, I would like to never have valleys in my life, troubles in my life. And when they happen, you know what I do? Quickly go to Him and ask Him to remove it, take it away, so I can have good things in my life again. Philippians tells us that we can do that. Philippians 4 and 6, be careful for nothing. In everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. You know, that's what we do before prayer each service here. We have some thanksgiving and we have some requests.
Yes.
And you know, I can tell the Lord exactly how I would like for Him to answer my request.
Yes.
And I think that's the best way to do it. And Jesus left us an example. Says for us to let this mind be in us that was also in Christ Jesus. I'm glad He left us an example. when he went to his father and he said, Father, if it be possible, would you remove this cup from me? But then he also left us another example. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. He left us an example that we should follow in his steps. So I'd like to take a look this morning at his example. In John 12, you know, you would think, well, Jesus can handle anything. Look at this verse. Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Here's what I say. Father, save me from this hour. You know, that's what I say whenever I run into trouble. Lord, I'd like you to take away this problem that I'm faced with. So he's saying, what am I going to say about this trouble I'm faced with? Am I going to say, Father, save me from this hour? You know what? It's for this cause that I came to this hour. So here's what he's going to say, is the 28th verse. Father, glorify thy name, is the request that Jesus has. So I want to put something on the board. And I'm not very good at it. Have you ever done a graph? At work, we will take a graph and we will take our natural gas bill for work and post on these what our gas bill is for each month. And we will take and we'll see, you know what, here it stays kind of steady. But here is one huge spike. Now, if I'm trying to save money for the company, I want to take a look at what caused that spike. Do I have a leak somewhere? What caused it to be this way? And we'll also take and we will overlay in different colors the different years to where we can say, you know what, I see for 5 years this thing stayed consistent like this. But in this year, we had a big spike. Well, when we're talking about at work, I have boilers for our heating. And I would find a huge spike like this. And I'd say, what happened to cause that? Do you remember a couple years ago when we had about 2 or 3 days of a negative 12 degree at night? And I had all three boilers running as hard as they could run, and they were never designed to take that cold of weather. So all three of them running, and it was just kind of steady losing efficiency for the building. So you know what? I could go back to that, and I could see a spike there. Let's change this graph, if I could put a heading up here. Glory to his name. And then let's graph Jesus' life of bringing glory to his Father's name. What would we put there? You know, his birth itself brought glory to God. It said, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill to men. So you know what, that was a pretty good clip right there. And we read about him at 12 years old going in the temple and telling his mom and dad, I must be about my father's business. You know, what he told to the lawyers and those there must have really been impressive. So that's maybe a little bump right there. What brought the spike? When he said, for this hour, I came into this world. So what I'm going to say is, Father, glorify your name. Yes. You know, we will always, on Jesus' life, we will see this huge spike in glory to God. Came at an hour when there was a great need. I start seeing a pattern. And I also see even in this, what did God say back to him? Jesus said in the 28th verse, Father, glorify your name. Then there came a voice from heaven saying, I have glorified it, and I'm going to glorify it.
Yes.
Again. You know, the Father was glorified with all the suffering that Jesus went through.
Yes.
It spiked. Glory to God in the highest. Victory in adversity. So I have a few lives that I'd like for us to look at for just a little bit and put them on the graph. Their life on this graph of whether it brought glory to God and what caused it. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, if we were to graph their life, they had some bumps that showed glory to God. When it says that they, in the first chapter, you remember all of them, it says they purposed not to eat of the king's meat. They had a desire, they had a conviction of doing something. I believe that brought glory to God. How did it do it? You remember when the man that was over him said, "No way, if I let you do that and you're not healthy, when I take you to the king, I'm in trouble." Remember what they said? "Give us 10 days and then check us again and see." You know what I believe? That brought glory to God when at the end of those 10 days he took a look and he saw, "I'll let you eat that from here on out." But you know, that's not what we remember Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego for. There was, how did they ever get to be at the place that they had to bow anyhow? It says about them in the third chapter of Daniel, it says that the rulers of the province were the ones that were called. It wasn't just all classes of people. How did they ever get to be a ruler anyhow? If you go back to the second chapter, right at the last, after Daniel had told what the vision was, what the dream was, and he said he requested that Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego be appointed over provinces of the kingdom. So they had been bringing glory to God as they moved up in the ranks some. But you know what? That's not what brought the most glory to God. When we look back at their life, there was a huge spike.
Yes.
When they came up to the burning fiery furnace with a commitment in their heart. You know what? What would this have been if it's glory to God in the highest, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and they went to that and they said, "Forget it. I'm bowing with everybody else. I'll just pray to God." You know what? This spike wouldn't have been here.
Yes.
It would have been lost. I'm talking about glory to God in our lives. There's a verse of a song that says, "Should I walk in trouble pressed on every side," and all of us will at some time or another, "He who knows my weakness will with me abide. I will ever trust him in the hottest blast while the fiery darts are flying thick and fast." So I'd like to put another person on the graph of how his life brought glory to God, and that was Daniel. He was with the others when he purposed not to eat of the king's meat. So we might could have put them all together and it would have been about the same kind of bump up to that point of glory to God. But you know what? There were some other things that happened in Daniel's life that brought glory to God. When he was able to give the interpretation to the king, and the king was so happy about it, you know what Daniel could have done? He could have taken some of the glory himself. He could have said, "Yep, I'm pretty good at understanding dreams. Come to me again if you ever have a problem." But what did he say in Daniel 2 and 30? Said, "This secret is not revealed for wisdom I have more than any living. Humility increases glory to God in our life." So the spike for Daniel, when he continued to pray 3 times a day, knowing what the future would hold, and then it took him to the lion's den. We could say, "Well, yeah, he knew he was going to get back out with no problem." No, he didn't know he would get out. We just get to read the rest of the story today. And you know, when we go into our troubles that we face, we're not able to see the other end of it either. We go into it with faith like the three Hebrews did when they said, "He's able to deliver us. He's going to deliver us out of your hand. We're going to be delivered one way or another." So with this, as I think of Daniel, he went to the lion's den with a conviction, "I'm going to live this way." And when we are able to look back again and we put his life in a graph of what brought glory to God, the thing that stands out to me is the lion's den. There's another person. If we put Job on this, would we say that the big spike was when we found out that Job was super wealthy? He was the greatest man of the East. It doesn't fit on this one, except for one thing. Being what he was also brought glory to God.
Yes.
What did it say? He feared God and he eschewed evil. That brings glory to God. He also did some other things. Remember when he offered sacrifices and he said, just in case, because these sacrifices worked different back then than they do today. Today, each one, we cannot repent for our children. Back then, he could offer sacrifices for his children, and he did, just in case one of them might be sinning today.
Yes.
That was another spike in glory to God. But where was this big one in his life? It's when the big troubles came to him. And he was able to say, the Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. When he was able to say, shall we receive good and not receive evil? When he was able to say, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. I believe those things fit in this spike of a graph of glory to God.
Yes.
Lazarus, the brother of Mary and Martha. You remember it came to him this in John 11 and the third verse. They came with Jesus telling him, Lord, he whom thou lovest is sick.
Yes.
Asking for him to come and pray for him. What did Jesus say about that? In the 11th chapter and in the third verse is where the call comes. His sister sent unto him saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. So you know what? He waited until he died because his name was going to be glorified.
Yes.
You know, sometimes we can think, Lord, you're waiting way too long to help in this problem. But I believe what he's wanting is to get the most out of our life, bringing glory to his name. And it doesn't happen so much in just a little everyday living when a normal person would be doing pretty good.
Yes.
Sunshine really doesn't bring these spikes in our life. But the Lord wants glory to be brought. There's a song that we sing through it all.
Yes.
And it says, if I never had a problem, I would never know that God could solve them. Can you imagine if us being a Christian meant we will never have trouble in our life? Others would never know how to relate to it or see the glory of God in our life portrayed. But I'm thinking, it says I wouldn't know how God could solve them. Or if we turn that song around, if Christians never had a problem, how would the world know that God's able to solve them? Because they said, whenever he's talking about Lazarus in the 37th verse of the 11th chapter, there's a lot of people looking on right now. And you know, they have some kind of confidence in Jesus. Some of them said, could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind have caused that even this man should not have died? And Jesus brought him back from death. And it says in the 45th verse, many of the Jews which came to Mary and saw the things which Jesus did believed on him. You know what? That sickness and that death brought glory to God. Another one that I thought of, Queen Esther. You know, she could have seen just her regular everyday life going on, and her commitment to live right would have brought some glory to God. But you know what really did it? When she was requested to go before the king because the Jews are going to be killed, and you read that in the book of Esther, she tells them, I'll tell you what, everyone fast for 3 days. Don't eat or drink. It said, I'm going to go into him, and if I perish, I perish. What brings a spike in glory to God? It's when I commit my life and how it may turn out.
Yes.
To him.
Yes.
You remember there said, it's just possible that you were called to this place for this purpose. That you were called to be the king's wife for this time, for such a time as this. What about our lives? There's a verse over in Romans. Because I think this isn't just intended to go back to my old Bible stories that mom and dad used to read me. But this one in Romans 12 and 1, it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. That is me coming to a place where I say, okay, Lord, I'll take the chart here. I want you to put into my life what you see will bring the most glory to you. There's a verse in Romans 9 and 20. Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why have you made me thus? You know, it's so easy for us to do that. I'm the thing formed, and I'm saying to the one that formed me, Lord, why are you allowing this to happen in my life? Yes. Jeremiah 18 and 3 says, he went down to the potter's house, and he saw him working a work on the wheel. You know, that's where each of us are today. Yes. He's trying to make something out of us. And what he wants to make is what will bring the most glory to God. There's a song that we sing, song number 243. I'd like for us to sing together just one verse. You know, there's some verses you'd have to go a long time to memorize them, but it won't take long for this one. I can hear my Savior calling. I can hear my Savior calling. I can hear my Savior calling. Take the cross and follow, follow me. Where he leads me, I will follow. Where he leads me, I will follow. Where he leads me, I will follow. I'll go with him, all the way. So whoever wrote that song, was he just trying to fill in space? I can't think of much to write down for a song, so I'm going to just let him sing these little pieces three times. No, when we look at the depth of this song, the consecration that's involved in it, it's almost like I need to have it repeated to me over and over again. Let it sink in. Where he leads me, I'll follow. I can hear my Savior calling, take your cross and follow me. And it just keeps coming back to me again, so that I can let it sink in. So now we have looked at several people's names. So for a little bit, I would like for each of us to put our name on the graph. An opportunity for a spike to come into my life that brings the most glory to God, by how I respond to it. You know what? Every one of the people that I've talked about this morning could have lost this spike. Yes. It could have been gone, and all glory to God was lost from it. How I respond to the things that come into my life, yes, will depend on how much glory God receives from it. Yes. There's a song that we sing. It's number 37. When through fiery trials thy pathway shall lie, my grace all sufficient shall be thy supply. The flame shall not harm thee. I only design thy dross to consume and thy gold to refine. I look at this graph, and now I start understanding some things of the past. When Sister Maxine fell and began her journey, now I can understand more. It was the beginning of a spike that would bring glory to God, that nothing else in her life could have done the same way, because it took some consecration. You know, we can look at other people now that had serious troubles come to their life, and they yielded themselves to it. And does it mean that the spike is only there because they came out like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego with no smell of smoke on them? There's some folks that died. You know what? In Hebrews 11, God was glorified in the first half of the chapter. He was also glorified in the other, where it was others that died, others that suffered, others that had things happen. You know what we're going to have to do? I'm going to have to give God the graph and just ask Him, Lord, I want glory to come to Your name. And it's only going to happen by me. My part of it is, when it comes, that I respond to it in the right way. And that is by yielding myself and saying, Lord, what? Brother Vader McMillan, I want it to keep coming back to me. Lord, what do You have in this for me? You know what? Sometimes He doesn't have that just for me. He didn't have that just for Sister Maxine. But you know what? How many people He moved through her room as she yielded herself to God? I believe every one of those was a bump. That caused it. Are these about us being glorified? Not at all. What it is about is it bringing glory to the Lord. Our life is being graphed. Whether my life brings glory to God or not. Can I consecrate? Can I put my life and the things around me and say, Lord, I want You to bring the most glory to Your name from those things. I would like for us to sing in closing, number 242. You know, it's real easy for me to sing that song when everything is good. I'll live for Him who died for me. How happy then my life shall be. And it says, O Thou who died on Calvary to save my soul and set me free and make me free, I'm going to consecrate my life to Thee, my Savior and my God. You know, living for the Lord is more than just He's going to make everything roses for me. But what it says is Jesus realized it Himself. The thing that will bring the most glory to my Father, God said it Himself, I have glorified my name by what You've done up to now, and I'm about to glorify it again with some huge suffering and death, but it glorified God. Lord, help us each one to consecrate our life to Him. I desire Your prayers.